Welcome to the Green Screen of Death. My name is Adrian.
My name is Bill.
So we're on episode 79.
The Return.
The Return.
No sports people.
Yeah.
We're getting a little high in the numbers.
It's getting tough.
There's a few left, but yeah. So I got some movies from the 1979.
Okay, yeah.
Some all-timers.
Nice.
Alien.
Oh, sweet.
Can't go wrong with that.
Yeah, man.
Apocalypse Now.
Nice.
One of Peter Sellers' last films, Being There.
Okay.
Criterion Blu-ray just came out.
Nice.
Good stuff. And for you genre freaks, The Warriors.
Oh, no way.
Come out and play.
Nice.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Good stuff.
Right on.
I guess we owe some people an explanation here.
I think we do.
So we haven't recorded in like 3 months.
That's right.
So legit, until about an hour ago, or a little over that, I hadn't seen Adrian since September 29th.
That's true. I didn't think of that.
So we got off our plane from Fantastic Fest in Seattle.
Yeah.
Adrian went to Victoria.
Yeah.
I went to Vancouver.
That's right.
It's the last time I saw him.
That's unbelievable.
Totally.
I didn't think of that.
And before all you fucking conspiracy people start saying shit, there was nothing going on.
Yeah.
We were just busy.
I think part of it was we were burnt out after recording so much of Fantastic Fest.
Totally. And plus, we landed in Seattle and my ears were completely like plugged.
Yeah.
Turns out I had a really massive ear and sinus infection.
Oh, jeez.
And it didn't unplug for a month.
Yeah.
I couldn't hear out of one ear.
Oh, wow.
For over a month.
I didn't know that.
I went through VIF with one ear.
Jeez, man.
And it was half working.
I heard stories about your ear bleeding and stuff.
Yeah, it was really bad.
The streets were telling me
that. It was really bad.
Oh,
I had a really bad ear infection.
Jeez.
Yeah, we were in the Seattle airport at the Delta Sky Lounge.
Yeah.
I remember saying to you, I can't hear anything.
Yeah.
And that was a month.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Because I thought it was like, oh, it's just because we've been flying all day.
Yeah, so I get to Vancouver and it's still not unplugged.
Oh, man.
And I'm like, what the hell is going on? I had a film festival to go to.
Yeah.
Stupidly.
Yeah.
And just sort of roughed it out until one of my ears started to bleed. Then I went to a clinic and they gave me a prescription
and
it cleared up.
That's unbelievable.
And then I went to my doctor after the festival and he's like, I should hit you.
Really?
Like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, man.
I'm just like, well, I was busy.
Yeah.
Sorry. It was a film fest. I'm not stopping.
Yeah.
And I didn't stop. Legit.
Yeah.
We were going to record about a month and a half ago.
Yeah.
And then every weekend.
Yeah.
Adrian was away.
Yeah.
Or I was away.
Yeah.
It just never worked out.
Yeah.
And you know what? If somebody wants to pay us to do this, I will find time every goddamn week.
That's right.
But until then, if something comes up, I'm busy.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And that's always been our thing, right? Like, I would never give you crap if you had stuff going on.
And totally.
And it's the same way for you. Like, I had a lot of stuff going on and, you know, family health issues, stuff like that. And I'll get into it a bit in the rant, but my motivation just wasn't there, too. And I don't think anybody wants to listen to me not being motivated.
We recorded a lot of shows at Fantastic Fest, more than we said we would for our press badges.
Yeah.
And by the end there, I was not into it at all.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We recorded our final little bit in the Seattle airport. We did like downsizing the review for that movie.
Oh, yeah.
And listen to it. We don't give a shit.
Yeah. We had no fucks left to give.
No, it was, we were done.
Yeah.
I did a bunch of shows with Marina Antunes for her podcast after the credits.
Mm-hmm.
They're good shows.
Oh, yeah.
Marina and I always click. We're good.
Oh, yeah.
But I was sick.
Yeah.
And I was sick for like 3 weeks after the festival, too. Like, I could hear again, but my nose was still really screwed up.
Yeah.
And I didn't feel like watching movies.
Oh, totally.
I legit watched 140 films in a month.
That's unbelievable.
And I didn't want to watch Jigsaw. I apologize.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, they're not helping.
Yeah.
The movie sucked.
Oh, they were bad for like 2 months. And I want to rewind just a second there. We should. You may have it in your notes already, but just the mention of Marina Antunes and after the credits, was it Row 3 recently shut down?
Yeah,
they're still going strong after the credits crew. So shout out to you guys and thank you for moving forward.
ATCpod.ca.
Yeah,
yeah. Check them out.
Check it out. They're really good stuff. They're really entertaining. And you know, without them, we may not be here right now.
Totally.
You know?
No, we wouldn't be.
Yeah.
Like one weekend when we were supposed to be recording recording, Adrian went to Vancouver and hung out with my Vancouver crew.
Yeah, that's right.
At the Rio Theater.
That was awesome.
And watched The Disaster Artist.
That's right.
We could have recorded that weekend, but Adrian was busy.
Yeah.
The next weekend, I went to Vancouver to watch Phantom Thread.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
You know, like,
stuff like that's been happening.
It's constant.
Yeah.
Like, we apologize for not doing a show, but this one's going to make up for it. Cause it's going to legitimately be 6 hours long.
It will be.
I have like 100 and something movies to talk about.
He's not exaggerating.
I'm not
either.
I'm really not. And I'm on a roll. I'm on fire. And I just want to talk.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
I don't know if I really miss this, to tell you the truth. Because it's like the expectation to record when you're busy is a real pain in the ass.
It is. It is. And I think that's why both of us didn't really put a ton of pressure on each other, because stuff happens. And I get what you're, I get what you mean, though. Like, the, you know, setting a schedule, they always say, like, if you read any article about how to do a podcast, it's like, have a regular schedule. Well, but we're just a couple of dudes.
Yeah, we did that for 3 years.
Yeah.
Where we never missed a show, pretty much.
Yeah, yeah.
And like about 2 weeks ago, I texted Adrian. I'm like, so you want to do a podcast?
Yeah, yeah. Like, yeah, let's do it.
And he's like, yeah, sure, I guess. Yeah. And that was the first time we talked about it.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like we weren't talking.
Yeah.
I was talking to him every day.
Yeah, we were talking about football or
just
movies.
Just didn't give a shit about movies.
Yeah. TV shows.
Yeah, like,
or
who knows? The show might be better for us not recording when we didn't want to record.
Oh, totally.
I'm sure it will be. Yeah. Yeah,
for sure. So, and the motivation's definitely back.
Yeah.
Because
the movies are better.
Yeah, that's right. It helps when you have good movies.
When it comes down
about.
To it.
Yeah.
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 It's not like there wasn't good movies when we were away, but man, a couple of those weeks.
Yeah.
Oh.
You're looking at Jigsaw.
Yeah.
Like, oh, man.
Like, did you really want to hear me yell about Jigsaw for 40 minutes?
Definitely not.
No. I would have, I guess.
And I'm usually an easy lay for movies like that, and I hated the movie.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I guess we're back.
Yeah.
I guess we're back to a regular schedule, unless something comes up.
Yeah.
Because, let's face it, it's that time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Something might come up.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We have a Fantastic Fest show that hasn't aired yet.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to do our Star Wars show, because we do one every year.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out soon.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have fresh material.
Oh, you're going to get sick of us.
Yeah.
You're going to be asking us to go on a hiatus again. Yeah.
So, yeah, my buddy Nick, who I talk about on Movie Club all the time, was yelling at me because he thought that the movie that I picked of his ruined the show.
Oh, right.
And how Adrian did not like Spirit of the Beehive.
Yeah.
So we haven't recorded since then. Because I'm like, dude.
Cursed our show.
I'm like, did you listen to the Nausicaa show where Adrian fucking hated it?
Yeah.
That should have killed the show.
Yeah.
Like, come on.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah. It was just timing.
Yeah.
It was all about timing. But yeah, it's all good.
So what have you been up to?
Man, just the usual stuff. Like, Xbox One X came out. And I, you know me, I'm Xbox fanboy till I die.
Yeah, you got the 4K TV, so
yeah.
It's relevant.
Yeah, I felt like I kind of had to get it. And I've been really happy with it. I played Shadow of War in 4K. I'm still playing that. It's pretty fun.
It
looks amazing.
Did you get a SNES Classic?
I did, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, that's pretty fun.
They were really hard to get.
Yeah.
Except for if you went on Used Victoria, nobody was buying them on there.
Mm-hmm.
So you could really barter with them.
Oh, okay.
I got mine for like $10 above cost.
No way.
I paid $130 for mine or something like that.
Nice.
After you figure all the tax and all that.
Yeah,
I paid $130 for
it. That's awesome.
I was just like, sweet.
And you think about how long it takes to find one. Because
you have to
be at EB when they come
in. You know what, though? Since then, Toys R Us has had shipments of 100 on a Saturday.
Okay.
And you had to be there at like 9 o'clock. They give you a ticket.
Oh, jeez.
So I could have had one.
Yeah.
But I already beat Super Mario World.
Sweet.
I love that game.
That's awesome.
It's so funny, too. I picked the controller up.
Yeah.
And I knew where everything was.
Nice.
It was muscle memory. I played that game so much as a kid.
Right on.
My hands knew where to go.
Yeah.
I was like, holy shit. Well, I can't remember yesterday.
That's
but
awesome.
I can remember where the free man is in Super Mario World.
That's awesome.
Weird.
Right on.
So
dude.
Weird.
That's cool.
Did you play Mario Odyssey?
I've played some of it.
Yeah.
I'm a really bad gamer, though.
I traded my PS4 for my buddy's Switch.
Oh, yeah.
Because he wanted to play Horizon Zero Dawn.
Oh, cool.
And I played Odyssey and I played Zelda for about 2 weeks.
Sweet.
I beat Mario Odyssey.
Nice.
But I only got like 300 moons.
Mm-hmm.
There's like 900.
Oh, jeez. That's
so
insane.
I probably should keep on playing it, but I don't have a Switch.
Yeah.
And I'm about half done Zelda.
Okay.
Which is like 45 hours.
Yeah.
Which is insane.
That's crazy.
And
that's awesome.
And I beat the Horizon Zero Dawn DLC. DLC.
Oh, wicked.
The Frozen Wilds, which is amazing.
Nice.
Best game of the year.
Right on.
Whatever. That's awesome. Fuck your Zelda.
Fuck your Zelda. Fuck your couch. And I picked up Wolfenstein, the first one. Well, not the first Wolfenstein, but the...
Yeah, I got it on Black Friday.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Got it for $24 for that and the expansion pack on one disc.
Yeah, I think I got the same thing.
Nice.
Really fun. So I've been having fun killing Nazis.
Nice.
And Madden looks really cool in 4K. And...
Air 4K. Yeah, that's Air.
Right. Had to throw that in there.
You bastard. I'll get there one day.
Yeah. And if you've ever thought about getting State of Decay, just get it. It's so much fun. Have you played it?
I have, yeah.
I'm loving it. I picked it up on Saturday, or I first played it on Saturday, and played for like 3 or 4 hours, and then one of my characters died. I didn't realize, like, once they die, they're done.
Yeah.
And I was just mismanaging all my characters, so I just started over again.
Nice.
Having fun with that, and been playing a lot of Overwatch, and I also, like you, I thought Ready Player One was coming out in December, and I read the book in October or whatever it was. It's a good book. It's got a lot of problems. A lot. Like it kind of, it's funny how many things it kind of captures from, like, the whole Gamergate thing and kind of toxic male behavior and just the way nerds think. But in the hands of Steven Spielberg, I've got hopes for the movie.
It'll be a slick piece of entertainment. It'll be good.
Yeah. So that was, I liked it for the most part. And then Liverpool, they've been breaking my heart lately. Dejan Lovren, he's the worst center back in existence.
Did you see Man City beat United for their first home loss in a year and a half?
I didn't see that.
On Sunday, 2-1.
Wow.
It was terrible.
Must have been a heartbreaker.
City's now 11 points up on United.
Oh, man.
United's in second.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's unreal.
Sucks. Damn. Since we last recorded, my Boston Red Sox got eliminated in the first round of the playoffs.
Oh, that's right.
It was really terrible. I don't really want to talk about it. They lost to the Houston Astros, who won the World Series.
Yeah.
They were a really good team, obviously. Yeah. United's in second. My Packers don't have Aaron Rodgers and are playing way better than I thought they would. Brett Hundley is a pretty good quarterback and I'm pretty sure we're going to lose him in the offseason.
Probably, yeah.
Somebody's going to want him.
Yeah.
He's showing to be pretty good. The first couple weeks, he sucked because he didn't know the offense, but now he looks like a starter.
He does. He's gelling
with
Devontae Adams, especially.
And hopefully he's not the next Matt Flynn.
Oh, yeah.
Who was Brett Favre's backup, and he played one game and passed for 400 yards, and then he got signed as a free agent and never played for that team.
That's right.
And my Red Wings suck.
Oh, no way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They've lost 8 in a row.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, it sucks.
That's tough.
I got a few more things to clear this off. Have you all seen David Ehrlich's Best 25 Film collection?
Oh, dude, you have to see it.
The Countdown, man.
Yeah.
It's amazing stuff. Everybody bitching about there being too much Baby Driver in it. Can go f*** you.
Oh, gosh, really?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
There's a lot of Baby Driver in the beginning.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. Shut up.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Twin Peaks, the reunion on Blu-ray.
Okay.
Get that shit.
Nice.
It's awesome. Nice. Mr. Robot Season 3 is the best television show of the year.
Wow.
Drop the mic.
Drop the mic. Wow.
Better than Game of Thrones.
Oh, man.
Better than everything. If Season 3 of Mr. Robot had been Season 2, everybody would talk about it like it's the best show ever.
Nice.
Season 2 kind of went down a bit.
Yeah.
Season 3 is better than Season 1.
Damn. Season 1 was amazing.
Season 1 was amazing.
Oh,
Season 3 is better.
Wow. That's awesome.
No lie.
Nice.
And because I like my music, a couple music guests that just drove me nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Gord Downie.
Yeah.
We knew it was coming.
Didn't make it any easier.
Yeah. For all you non-Canadians, Gord Downie was the lead singer of the Tragically Hip.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much Canada's band.
Oh, yeah. They
were the heart and soul of the Canadian music scene.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
Gord Downie died of brain cancer, mm-hmm. and he knew he was dying of brain cancer, and he went on a really big tour. Sad stuff. One that really hurt. Tom Petty.
Yeah, man.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And the fact that they didn't know if he was dead, they said he was dead, and then they said he wasn't dead.
Yeah.
Made it even worse.
Oh, yeah.
And then like 10 hours later, they're like, oh yeah, he's dead.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. That's brutal.
Yeah. One of the greats. What are you going to say about Tom Petty?
Mm-hmm.
Put on Damn the Torpedoes.
Yeah.
And tell me mean, that's not like one of the greatest albums ever made.
Oh, yeah.
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 And everything about him was his class. That's it for me. It was really long. I apologize. But we haven't done it in 3 months, so shut up.
Right. Yeah, we're going to have some stuff to talk about. It's all good, man.
Yeah, you got anything else?
I thought I was thinking of something, but I can't. Oh, got the new iPhone.
Oh.
So if anybody wants any Animojis sent your way, let me know. Send me a text, yo. I'll put the number in the show notes.
Adrian didn't get the 8 either.
No.
He went full.
The iPhone 10.
Yeah.
Like an idiot.
Is it 10 or is it X?
They say 10.
Really?
But it's an X. It's iPhone X.
Yeah. That's whatever. Weird. It's weird.
It is.
Okay. Yeah. I don't dig the Apple. I'm an Android guy.
My selfie game's on point though, dude. I showed Bill the saddest selfie of all time because it has like this new portrait mode that takes like cool pictures, and I thought it was just going to take a picture of my face, and I didn't have my shirt on, so you get like my upper, you see the upper portion of my chest,
sexy,
and me looking sad,
sexy. Like,
you and Sarah and I think Kyle are the only three that have seen it so far, so if it gets leaked, I get it. I have a good idea who leaked it.
Yeah, it was definitely not me.
Look at this hot picture.
I still have a Samsung Galaxy S4.
Yeah.
It's like a 5-year-old phone.
That's awesome.
Works like a mofo.
Yeah. Like, it's got a great battery life. It's a
bloody tank, man. I love that phone.
Right on.
Does everything I wanted to do. Yeah. I don't got no Animoji things, whatever the hell you were talking about.
You can't look like a panda
no.
or a fox.
I can text.
That's right.
I can search websites.
That's right.
Nothing innovative here, folks.
Yeah. And what's funny is that's really all I do, too, right? It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Android 5, y'all.
Nice.
What, do they have to like 8 now?
I think so.
Yeah. Android 5.
That's awesome. That's awesome.
Yeah. Sephora, when we were in the Seattle airport, and I couldn't get my phone to work with my SIM card.
Oh, right.
Because my phone's old.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And I had to like phone tech support because it didn't support my phone.
Oh, damn.
I was just like, I have to get a new phone.
Yeah.
This is stupid.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
It's all good. So, yeah, that's it. Now, I think we're going to be getting into something more long-winded than that intro. You ready to move into the rant?
Sure.
Guess we probably both have the same thing, or a couple of the same things. I'll start things off.
Sure.
Since the last time we recorded, it's been revealed, and it's kind of been an open secret, apparently, through the industry, that Harvey Weinstein is a piece of human garbage, and a lot of other males have been outed as being human trash. It's tough to realize that a lot of the people in movies I've enjoyed previously had to suffer through production of the movies, you know, and even women who haven't appeared in such and such movie, you know, going through the quote unquote casting process. It really sucks. And I think that's a big part of why my motivation was destroyed for so long, is just because I felt for these people. And I get the feeling that we're far from finished hearing about these stories, but I think they're important to talk about. And I think we all need to learn from this and collectively become better. But it's tough though, right? We were talking earlier, like talking about movies we've enjoyed previously, stuff that's on our shelves right now.
Yeah, man, that this is also my rant too. So I'll jump in. Like,
yeah.
You know, we always talk about, you know, separating the art from the person,
mm-hmm.
like a Woody Allen.
Yeah.
Like, how do you watch Midnight in Paris and not go, he married his daughter?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
It is.
Yeah. Or, you know, am I not allowed to watch like House of Cards anymore?
Yeah.
I like that show.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Usual Suspects. We're talking about that. It's a great movie.
And
just because Kevin Spacey's in it?
Yeah. And directed by Bryan Singer.
Yeah.
Apparently is a perverted scumbag.
Totally.
But yeah, like, am I supposed to go home and burn my copy, like throw away my copy of The Usual Suspects? I think we're all reacting in our own personal ways, and I don't think any one of the ways are right or wrong. You know, it's who's to say that you're right or wrong for enjoying House of Cards? I used to watch that show. It was good. I just stopped watching because I never stick with TV shows. I'm so bad at watching movies or TV shows.
I heard they're gonna do the next season with Robin Wright's character as president.
That's right. That's cool.
She was vice president
okay.
on the final, on the last season.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the way it should be.
I don't have a problem with you promoting a woman over a freak like Kevin Spacey.
Yeah.
Robin Wright all day.
Oh, yeah.
There's no problem with that.
Yeah.
I don't like people telling me that I'm not allowed to watch a show anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It feels weird.
That does.
Yeah. Because thousands of people probably worked on that show.
Yeah.
And it's about more than Jackass Kevin Spacey.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Think of all, you know, the directors and assistant directors and camera people and the people behind the scenes production.
Yeah.
It's more than him.
And Netflix, who spent millions of dollars to make this show, that they were already filming the show when they found out Kevin Spacey was an asshole.
Yeah.
And they had to can it.
Yeah.
How much money did Netflix lose on that?
Oh, big time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying what was Netflix. I'm sure they're still doing okay.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, this whole thing has just been a fucking just juggernaut of shit.
Yeah.
If somebody says anything bad about Tom Hanks, I'm done with movies.
Oh, man. Yeah. Oh, dude. Let's not go there. So that's our rant. And I just hope men can be better in general. Come on, guys. That's no big part of it is a lot of them are sick, but that doesn't excuse their behavior.
No.
We're not here to do that. We need to be accountable. So on that topic.
This episode's been really deep.
That's right. Let's just fucking cancel. We're done here. Okay.
It's almost like we forgot how to do this.
That's right. Well, there's no easy transition from fuck you, you piece of shit, to let's talk about Lady Bird. So let's do that. Let's move into our first review of the show. Let's talk about Lady Bird.
Why can't I just make the eggs?
Because you take too long, you make a big mess, and I have to clean the whole thing up.
Eggs aren't good for the environment anyways.
What?
You heard her.
Eat quickly, please.
Look at all these pictures. Every newspaper looks like USA Today.
Shelly and I are trying to be vegan. Hence the soy milk.
You wear leather jackets.
But they're vintage, so they don't support the industry.
They aren't done. There's white dye.
You know how much you love brambles? Pigs are smarter than him, even.
I never thought brambles was a genius, okay? Mom, the eggs are not done.
Fine, make your own fucking eggs.
I wanted to. You won't let me.
Sister doesn't like me.
I'm hungry.
She does.
There's your chance. Maybe. Going to bed.
All right, so Lady Bird, this is written and directed by Greta Gerwig, her solo directorial debut. Why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about Lady Bird?
So yeah, as you said, directed by Greta Gerwig. In the early 2000s, an artistically inclined 17-year-old comes of age in Sacramento, California. Saoirse Ronan, Laurie Metcalf, Tracy Letts, Lucas Hedges, and Timothée Chalamet. We've been championing Greta Gerwig for a while.
Oh yeah.
This has been a pretty big thing for us. We're fans.
Oh yeah.
Of her acting.
Yeah.
It's nice to see that she's become a little bit of a triple threat here.
Oh yeah.
Because this is one of the best films of the year.
Absolutely, man.
You said before that it was her solo debut as a director. She directed a Joe Swanberg film with Joe Swanberg called Nights and Weekends a couple years ago. She wrote and directed this one. Wow.
Yeah, man.
I've seen it twice now. First time I watched it, I was in the middle of a film festival, and I think a little bit went over me.
Okay, yeah.
And I rewatched it yesterday, and I was just like, my God, I love this film.
Nice.
It is so beautifully done.
Yeah.
And I actually raised my rating. I had it at 4.5 out of 5. I raised it to 5 yesterday.
Wicked. Right on,
dude. The rewatch, which I don't have a problem doing.
Yeah.
If I if it's my fault, not the film's. Mm-hmm. I was probably just really tired that day.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's a beautiful film.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Beautiful coming of age film. And I think that could work for all ages.
Absolutely.
It's pretty bloody rare nowadays.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this one definitely appeals to young people going through this right now, and old dogs like us who have been through that, and those days are long behind us, but maybe we can remember those times. And yeah, this one's highly universal, and she tackles some really serious material here. Like, there's stuff with like her first relationship with the character played by Lucas Hedges, who just absolutely knocks that out of the park. And every time I see him on screen in anything, I'm just like, oh yeah, here we go, buckle up, like, this kid is great. And Saoirse Ronan, and she's just completely dissolves into this character who is essentially Greta Gerwig. Like, a lot of this movie was I've watched her in interviews, and she says it's like inspired by her teen years. It's not like frame for frame a remake of like who she was at that time, but a lot of inspiration there, and you can really see it.
Well, Greta Gerwig's mom was a nurse, just like in the movie.
Okay.
And her mom's name was Christine.
Oh no.
Just like Lady Bird in the film.
Oh no.
You know, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Brooklyn was a good, it was a big movie, mm-hmm. and she was really great in Brooklyn. This is her coming out party.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody really knew who Saoirse Ronan was after that film, but everybody knows who Saoirse Ronan is now.
Yeah.
She hosted SNL.
Oh, she did?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's really big.
That's awesome.
And, you know, talked about Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. It's a really popular film. Mm-hmm. It was in the top 10 this weekend on limited screens.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It's made $22 million.
Oh, wow. That's great.
An A24 film that probably cost $5 million to make.
Yeah.
This is really big. It's not just the Saoirse Ronan show. Mm-hmm. Big, big bravo to Laurie Metcalf.
Yeah, man.
Who you might know as from Roseanne.
Roseanne's sister, right?
Roseanne's sister.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, why haven't you been in 20 other films since Roseanne?
Yeah.
You're so great.
Yeah.
The facial expressions, like this breaks your heart.
Yeah, man.
Because the mother-daughter relationship is what really brings the film along, and you know, Saoirse's acting her ass off, but Laurie is the reason why she's able to do it, because she's just going off of back and forth with each other. It's amazing stuff.
It's an amazing collaborative effort between Metcalf, Ronan, and Gerwig. It's just it's amazing.
It's the mother who loves but doesn't get her daughter.
Yeah,
who doesn't relate with that?
Oh, totally.
Yeah, even as my dad didn't get me, mm-hmm. it's the exact same thing.
Oh yeah,
yeah. And the dad played by the great Tracy Letts.
Oh, man.
Who's like the underrated hero of the film.
Yeah.
Just like a dude who's getting his ass kicked in life, but is super positive to his daughter. Mm-hmm. Even though kind of in real life, he's really having a shitty time. He's on pills for depression, but you wouldn't know it.
Yeah.
Every time he talks to his daughter, it's just like, I'm here to make your life great by making you feel good.
Yeah.
It's really amazing.
Yeah.
Stuff, it's written so well. You don't see this very often.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The script is outstanding. And Metcalf and Letts are just, they're on another level, dude. And I get the feeling that both of them could probably have their choice of roles, but they're more into stage acting, right? Like they're into Broadway shows and whatnot.
Yeah.
That's what I suspect anyway. I have no way of proving that, but to be that good and not be in every movie ever, it's just crazy to me.
Tracy Letts has shown up in a lot of movies lately and just murdered.
Oh, yeah.
Just killed people. He's so good.
But
I love the character Lady Bird. Mm-hmm. I love how she's like always trying to fit in with the popular people by adapting their like little traits, even if they're really stupid, and like lose her best friend over it.
Yeah.
And you feel totally heartbroken by it. And I'm just like, just stop doing that.
Yeah.
But she doesn't. She has to learn the lessons like every teenage girl.
Oh, yeah.
It's beautiful.
When they're like, let's go to the deuce. Such a stupid thing. And I love that her love interest in the movie. What's his name?
Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's in everything all of a sudden and really big.
His character is such a jerk.
Yeah.
He's such a jerk.
It's weird, too, because his character in Call Me By Your Name is exactly the opposite of that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. That's awesome.
Yeah. But he's a prick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Top to bottom, this whole cast just brought it, man.
Yeah, it works. And see it.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of the special films of the year from a first-time filmmaker, real first-time filmmaker, and first-time, you know, she's written a lot of scripts with Noah Baumbach, but this is her first real deal by herself film.
Yeah.
And we need to support that.
Yeah.
And it sounds like people are.
Mm-hmm.
It's big.
Yeah.
And that's awesome.
That's great to see.
Now, if you could all just keep on, you know, buying Mistress America on Blu-ray.
That's right.
And all, and like Francis Ha on Blu-ray, so we can start getting all those Noah Baumbach films with Greta Gerwig writing scripts with each other. Because as I said before, I want one of those a year.
Yeah, man. Me too.
Yeah. Unless it means that Greta's going to make another film.
That's true.
Because I want that too.
Yeah. Yeah. She is so talented, man. I kept thinking through the whole movie, and like, whenever I watch any of her stuff, I always want to be like, I want to be like her best friend. Just hang out and I think we'd get along.
I love, my favorite scene in the film is Lady Bird's audition for the play.
Okay, yeah.
And that the dress she's wearing.
It's amazing.
And just the way she does that over dramatic acting.
Yeah.
Oh my God, it's so good.
Yeah.
I love this film.
It's great.
Love this film.
Yeah, man.
It's a really high recommendation for me.
Yeah, same here. Yeah, anybody mentions it, I'm like, yeah, go see Lady Bird. You need to see it. One last thing I wanted to mention is that it's the right kind of nostalgia, and that is it's not really nostalgia at all because it's set in the early 2000s. But, you know, a music drop from Justin Timberlake doesn't replace the narrative. It just kind of adds to it. And that's where stuff like Stranger Things gets it wrong.
There's a really great use of a Dave Matthews Band song that actually works in the film.
Yeah.
That's rare.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because I hate Dave Matthews Band, but this one actually works really well.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything's just spot on, and it's so cool that everything lined up. And if you haven't done this already, look up the letters that she wrote to Justin Timberlake and Dave Matthews. Have you read those?
So good.
They're amazing.
So good.
where she asked for the rights to their songs, and it's just so heartwarming. And
but the thing is, if it hadn't been Greta Gerwig, it would have looked really obsessive.
Oh, totally.
Like a stalker.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
So good.
Yeah. So check it out, Lady Bird. You must see this movie. Okay, so let's move on to our next movie. Let's talk about Guillermo del Toro's latest film, The Shape of Water.
That's better. That's better. Oh, look at Betty. Oh, God, to be young and beautiful. If I could go back to when I was 18, I didn't know anything about anything. I'd give myself a bit of advice. I would say, take better care of your teeth and fuck a lot more. Oh, no, no, that's very good advice. Pretty baby of mine.
Pretty baby of mine. Okay, so what is The Shape of Water all about?
All right, so yeah, directed by Guillermo del Toro. In a 1960s research facility, a mute janitor forms a relationship with an aquatic creature. Thank you, IMDb.
Hey.
That was a good one.
All right.
So yeah, Sally Hawkins, Michael Shannon, Richard Jenkins, Octavia Spencer, and Doug Jones as the creature. So I was kind of okay with this one.
Yeah.
I don't think it's great.
Yeah.
But I think it's good.
Yeah.
It's exactly what I thought it would be after I watched the trailer.
Yeah.
I don't think he tries hard enough in this one. This is not Pan's Labyrinth, folks. Mm-hmm. It's a good movie, but it's very safe, except for when it's violent for no reason.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
But it could almost be like a kid's movie at times.
Yeah.
It's so tame.
Yeah.
And I also have a real problem with the fact that it looks like he reshot Amelie for half the film.
Oh, that's true. Really did.
Yeah, like the opening scene is like the first scene in Amelie where she's like in her apartment and then goes down to her neighbor downstairs who's like a painter. Mm-hmm. Richard Jenkins is fucking painting.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh my God, even the music's kind of the same.
Yeah. She looks like Amelie.
Totally.
Yeah.
So yeah, so, you know, eventually we're all like, when's, you know, mute Amelie gonna fuck the fish?
Yeah, yeah. That should be the IMDb write up.
Totally.
When does Amelie fuck the fish? Will they, won't they?
But hey, it's a Guillermo del Toro film, so it looks really good.
Oh, yeah.
And the acting is really strong. Mm-hmm. You know, and Sally Hawkins, everybody's like, Oscar for this film. No, it's for Maudie.
Maudie.
Yeah, Maudie, she's amazing. You haven't seen it, you should. It's really damn good.
Yeah.
She's really good in this film, too.
Yeah.
But she's amazing in Maudie.
Mm-hmm.
But she's got that amazing cast around her. Hey, Michael Shannon's really good.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you guys knew this.
Yeah.
Richard Jenkins is really good. Jenkins.
Oh, he's awesome.
And hey, Octavia Spencer raises every film she's in because she's amazing.
Yeah, I love her.
And, you know, Doug Jones as a creature, great work.
Yeah.
I just, something missing here.
There is something missing.
I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's just some spark.
Mm-hmm.
Something.
Yeah.
Still good.
Yeah.
Just not great.
Yeah. I think I'm probably, it sounds like I'm higher on it, which is fine. I thought it was very lovely. And you talked about how it's kind of like a fairy tale children's story kind of thing. I think it definitely is but there's adults involved and this love thing going on. And I appreciated that. And I appreciated the sort of beginning of them meeting and watching their relationship grow and all that. And I was quite smitten with that, I must say. And the performances really elevate this film. Like Octavia Spencer, she makes anything so much watchable, so much more watchable.
One of the classiest actresses in Hollywood. She comes on the screen and you automatically, the film becomes like a star better.
Oh, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, her presence alone is awesome. And I'm all about Michael Shannon kind of. He doesn't quite crank his meter to, he doesn't crank it to 11, but he's always at like a 9 in terms of like how Michael Shannon he is.
The only time I've ever seen him go full Shannon was in Revolutionary Road.
Oh shit, I haven't seen that.
You gotta check that. There's a clip of him on YouTube.
Okay.
Of him doing his speech to Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay.
And it's full Shannon.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Full Shannon.
Nice.
Like his head's about to explode. Oh, it's amazing stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, Michael Shannon's one of the greats.
He's awesome.
Yeah. The fact that, you know, he hasn't won an Oscar makes the whole system completely foul and fake.
Oh, it's brutal. It's so brutal.
Yeah. And as a cat lover, there's a scene with a cat that kind of grossed me out.
Yeah, that was not necessary.
Trigger warning if you like cats. There's your warning.
Yeah,
it's there's some bad foreshadowing that drove me nuts.
Yeah.
But I still like the film. It's still really watchable. I think I expect more from Guillermo del Toro when he's not making Hellboy.
Yeah.
This is supposed to be a big prestige Guillermo del Toro film. And I just don't think it's great.
Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. I agree with you on that part, because especially when you look at the collective whole as in terms of, you know, people we follow on Twitter or even people we don't follow. I think they saw a different version of this film perhaps that we didn't see. But I just, in terms of the people are saying like best of the year, I don't think it's even close to that.
I rate it a 4 out of 5.
Yeah. I'd be about a 4 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. It is.
It's a good movie.
It's really damn good. You're right. It's missing something, like some kind of, I don't know. It's not even the conflict. Like, there is conflict there. There are obstacles. Our character does go through an arc. It's all, the pieces are in place. But there's just something missing. It's just that magical, that twinkle is not quite in my eye.
It's and I'm not telling Del Toro to how to make his movie.
Exactly.
I just, it's a good movie.
Yeah. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I think it's fine too,
Yeah.
Hey, hate mail to Adrian.
That's right. Come fight me on Twitter, man. Yeah,
he will fight you too.
I will.
He is a master troll.
I take pride in that. And I told Bill a story about how I was an actual troll IRL before the internet, and got me into some hot water, and I may have got punched in the face. And I got what I deserved that day.
What a bastard.
That's right. Well, and I think that's the problem with this movie too. It's like, that's it. What else can we really say about this movie? Like,
yeah.
It's
very straightforward.
It is.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to something that is not quite as straightforward as The Shape of Water. Let's talk about The Post.
It's not the full report, but it's over 4,000 pages of it.
Huh. Are these in order?
I don't think so.
There are no page numbers.
Yeah, that's where the top secret stamps were. My source had to cut them off.
We're supposed to retire on Friday.
Ben, how are we supposed to comb through 4,000 pages?
They're not even loosely organized.
The Times had 3 months. There's no way we can possibly
get
this.
He's right. We got less than 8 hours.
We could shoot for City, then we'd have 10.
Hey, for the last 6 years, we've been playing catch-up, and now, thanks to the President of the United States, who, by the way, has taken a shit all over the First Amendment, we have the goods. We don't have any competition. There's dozens of stories in here. The Times has barely scratched the surface. We have 10 hours till the deadline, so we dig in.
All right, so what is The Post all about?
Directed by the great Steven Spielberg. You might have heard of him.
Yeah.
A cover-up that spanned 4 U.S. presidents pushed the country's first female newspaper publisher and a hard-driving editor to join an unprecedented battle between journalism and the government. Meryl Streep.
Dun, dun, dun.
Tom Hanks.
Yeah.
The great Bob Odenkirk.
Yes.
Who does not get enough praise, but
yeah.
Better Call Saul is one of the great TV shows of our time.
Hell yeah.
Bruce Greenwood, the great Tracy Letts.
Tracy Letts, man.
Sarah Paulson.
Yeah.
And friend of the show, Pat Healy.
Hey, how cool is that?
Pat Healy.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's wicked.
Yeah, Pat Healy's been on our podcast.
Yeah.
So we're shouting his name out.
That's right.
You know what this film is?
Oh, what's that?
A really great director and a bunch of really great actors doing really great things.
Hell yeah, dude.
This movie's really good.
It's awesome.
It's tight. It's adult.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of those films anymore.
We don't.
It's just a straight adult drama.
It is.
Made by one of the greatest directors of all time.
Yeah.
With one of the greatest actors of all time.
Yeah.
And one of the greatest actresses of all time.
Yeah.
Just knocking home runs out.
Oh, hell yeah, dude. Yeah,
it's
yeah, man.
Really good film.
Yeah. Yeah. As I was watching, I was just like, man, this is like so beautifully constructed and executed. And it's just like, for film lovers like us, like this is our fucking jam, dude. Like,
yeah,
this is why we go to the movies, to be dazzled by these people who we've seen before. We've seen their movies before, but they still find a way to move us. And I think that's awesome.
It's probably one of the most polished movies of the year, the most easily digested films of the year.
Yeah.
And it's just, everything is top notch.
Yeah.
Like Tom Hanks, no effort.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nothing. You don't even see him acting. It's just Tom Hanks.
Oh, yeah.
He's always so good. Yeah. He makes it so easy. You think he's not even really doing anything.
Yeah.
He's just that good.
Yeah.
Meryl Streep, the same.
Oh, she is so awesome in this.
And everybody. And, you know, it's not just Spielberg. It's Janusz Kaminski lighting the shit out of this film.
Oh, yeah.
It's everything is so good.
Yeah, man.
It's like this. Everybody who was great in Hollywood came to Steven Spielberg, said they wanted to be in his movie.
Yeah.
And they made a really good movie.
Oh, hell yeah. Yeah, like the camera work is outstanding. Like, I love the way the camera moves in this movie, and it reflects what's happening on screen. Like, there's a shot in the movie where the camera goes through a crowd of women, and then it goes into the New York Stock Exchange, I believe, or a boardroom, and then you see just men in the next room, and Meryl Streep just walks right into the middle of the room. Just the way that was shot, I was just like, oh man, that's fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
Like, oh my god, I was freaking out. And there's a shot of Meryl Streep, which I believe is just as important and moving.
Her exiting the courtroom?
Yeah.
The court building?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing.
But yeah, when she walks out, I got the same kind of chills as when I watched the Wonder Woman No Man's Land scene and for the first time. And that just, it was beautiful. Just the way they shot that, the way they showed how important she is
yeah.
in history. And Meryl Streep just knocking it out of the park, dude. I was like, god damn, this is a movie, man.
Yeah, yeah, it's really good. And it's, you know, it's about the Pentagon Papers and how government after government lied about Vietnam and how you either were going to jail if you reported it, or you actually had to go to court and try to win an injunction to actually keep on reporting this stuff.
Yeah.
So you're thinking, well, this sounds kind of boring.
It does.
It's not.
Yeah.
It knows when to ramp it up and to take it down, ramp it back up. This is not Spotlight, folks. Spotlight's a different film.
Yeah.
Same kind of vibe, but different film. I think Spotlight's a better film. That movie is just so emotional.
Yeah.
This one's really damn good, though.
Yeah.
I'm not underselling this film. And as I said, half of Hollywood's in this film.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't say, like, Bradley Woodford's in this film. Allison Brie's in this film. Carrie Coon's in this film. Jesse Plemons. Zach freaking Woods is in this film.
David Cross.
Yeah, it's like, holy crap. Like, everybody's in this film.
It's
probably the most watchable film of the year. It's gonna make a ton of money.
Yeah,
because isn't, you know, I'm gonna send my kids to Star Wars. I'm gonna go and watch The Post.
Yeah, adults need movies like
totally.
This. We need stuff that isn't blowing up all the time.
And thankfully, this almost feels like a return for Spielberg.
I think so.
Yeah,
I put in my notes that it feels like if it's not top tier Spielberg, it's like second tier. I think
that is oddly true.
Yeah, like I don't want to put it in, you know, the same realm as like Jaws or something like that. But it's definitely second tier at least, which is, even if it's third tier Spielberg, that's still amazing. And I also wanted to talk briefly about the John Williams score. Just outstanding.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
Yeah. They've worked together before. You might have heard of him. They found a way to make writing a newspaper article absolutely thrilling and suspenseful and scary, terrifying. And I felt completely just hooked, and they kept me there, man. They just kept me there.
Do you know what? This is going to sound really weird, but you know what else I find really awesome about this film? It's really cool to hear Tom Hanks swear.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
He doesn't swear a lot in his films, and he's really mouthy in this film.
Yeah.
And it's great.
Oh, totally.
I loved it.
Yeah.
Yeah, Tom Hanks is so good. Yeah. So good.
Yeah.
I'm not really a big Tom Hanks fan either.
Yeah.
Take him or leave him.
Okay, yeah.
And as you were saying about the first tier tier, second tier Spielberg. What was the last, like...
Munich.
Drama? Yeah. That, yeah, Munich.
Yeah.
It wasn't Lincoln.
Yeah.
Lincoln's good, but it's not great.
Yeah, I agree.
Munich was great.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can't say Minority Report. It's a science fiction film.
It is, yeah.
Yeah, if we were counting that, yes, Minority
yeah.
Report.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is probably his best film since Munich.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
I fully agree. It's outstanding, man. And to get back to our friend of the show, you know, Pat Healy, he plays a pretty small role, but he's got a lot of meaty stuff to chew on in this. And I was so happy to see. I didn't know he was in this.
Yeah, I didn't either. And when I finally figured it out, it was like fist pump in the air. Because I was like, yeah, Pat Healy.
Yeah, dude. And he's mixing it up with all of them, with like Odenkirk and Hanks. And he even has a voiceover bit where he's talking on the phone. I was just like, oh, that's so fucking cool.
Man. Yeah.
Like, good for you, man. And he's worked with some great filmmakers over the years.
Yeah, I'm happy about that. Yeah, I rated this 4.5 out of 5.
Nice.
Couldn't quite do the 5.
Okay.
It's really good, though.
Yeah.
And I think you're all going to be really surprised by it. I do. I think it's, you know, it's really just perfectly great.
Yeah.
He's just a really good filmmaker. We take Steven Spielberg for granted.
I think we do.
And I don't think we should until we see Ready Player One and shit all over it.
That's right. Well, that's already started.
Yeah.
The whole marketing of that movie's been really bad, though.
Yeah. But yeah.
And somebody should go to jail for what they did to Mark Rylance in that movie.
You know what, though? You know what I heard?
What's that?
The Post started like shooting like 3 months ago.
What?
Spielberg whipped this one out.
Wow.
Yeah, just boom.
That's I didn't know that.
Because he's Steven Spielberg.
That's crazy.
And he has that ability.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So good on him.
Nice.
I want Steven Spielberg to do good.
Mm-hmm.
He's the director of my generation.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So when The Post comes out, support it. Go see it. It's great. Okay, so we can move on to our next part of the show, the lightning round. This is where we talk about other movies in shorter form. This is going to be a beefy portion of lightning round just because it's been so long since we've talked about movies here. So this is going to be an extended version of lightning round is what I'm trying to say.
I watched a lot of movies.
That's right.
Sorry.
A lot of time has passed by. Bill went to an entire film festival since the last time we talked. So I'll start things off.
Cool.
Bill will jump in when there's overlap and I'll hand it over to you and I'll jump in if I forgot something.
Sure.
First thing I have listed, this is sort of in no order, I don't think. American Made, Tom Cruise movie. I thought it was okay. Kind of lost interest about 2/3 of the way in. And
it gets a little dumb at the end.
Yeah.
But it had a decent ride getting there.
Yeah.
It's not a bad film.
Yeah.
Especially for what I thought it would be.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, it's fun.
Yeah. I thought it was okay. Like maybe 3 out of 5 kind of thing.
Yeah. I think I rated it 3.5 out of 5 actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I didn't mind it. I thought it was, I was in the middle of a really hardcore film festival.
Oh, yeah.
And one night I had an open block.
Yeah.
So I went to the multiplex.
Oh, nice.
And I just wanted to watch a Tom Cruise film.
Nice.
And it was like a very light film in the middle of darkness.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked that.
Oh, cool. Right on. That's cool. Right on, dude. So, American Made, I thought it was okay.
It's a Netflix film all day, man.
Totally.
Yeah.
On the opposite side of the spectrum, I also saw The Florida Project, which I fell in love with, dude. Man, this movie kicks ass.
Yeah. It's one of the best films of the year.
Yeah.
By far.
Absolutely. Sean Baker is a filmmaker I'm really excited about. He made Tangerine as well a couple of years back. We championed that film.
We had a couple other really good ones. If you haven't seen Starlet, I think it might be on Netflix.
Okay.
It's really good.
Nice.
Takeout's really good.
Okay.
There's another one there. I forget the name.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's kind of known for improvising with non-professional actors.
Okay.
And this time, he used Instagram to get all of his actors.
That's right.
Holy shit.
That's crazy.
And how wild is that he gets these amazing, amazing talent off of Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't get these people at casting calls. They're this good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Besides Willem Dafoe.
I was going to say.
He's kind of known.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is a stellar film.
Yeah.
About, you know, poverty in the midst of richness.
Mm-hmm.
This hotel that is legit 2 blocks away from Disneyland, which was like a $1 billion business.
Oh, yeah.
And how everything around it is like gross about Disneyland. Get Disneyland toys. And, but all these people around it are like a bunch of hustlers.
Oh, yeah.
And they live in this shitty hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all really poor.
Yeah.
And it's all about what happens in their life if something goes wrong when you're really poor and how your life just spirals.
Yeah.
It's really sad but it has the best ending of the year.
Oh, yeah.
The most uplifting ending of the year.
Yeah.
And holy shit, it's a masterpiece.
It is. It really is. Yeah, I love this movie. Love the characters. And I think this would make for an interesting companion to The Big Short, in terms of this is part of what happens when there's a meltdown in the economy. Here are the people who are paying the price. Here are the people who can't find a job and the people who do things they don't want to do in order to survive, to provide basic food and shelter. And it's amazing. It's a beautiful movie. Saw it twice and didn't get any worse on second viewing.
No, if anything, it got better.
Yeah, yeah. And just one hell of an experience. And Sean Baker is a person who I believe loves people in general, and for him to just be such a keen observer of the human spirit just moved me to tears. And it was a good like 6 to 8 cat cry while watching The Florida Project.
It also has maybe the best child performance I've seen in I don't even know how
since
long.
Since The Phantom Menace?
Yes. Jake Lloyd.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But no, seriously.
The kids are that good.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
One of the best films of the year. See it.
Absolutely.
When I saw it for the second time, the audience I saw it with only saw it because there was a 4-star write-up in the paper.
Oh, really?
And as they were walking out, they said, I'm never going to trust that paper again.
Whoa. What? Oh, jeez.
They were really old.
Okay.
Like most of the people in our town.
Yeah.
And it just went over their head.
Brutal.
It's a masterpiece.
It is.
Screw you guys.
It's outstanding. Speaking of masterpiece, speaking of 4-star or 5-star, depending on how many stars you use, Blade Runner 2049 also came out between last episode and this episode. This one I've seen twice and loved it even more a second time.
I might have seen it more than 2 times.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
That's cool, man.
I've seen it 4 times.
Nice. That is awesome, dude.
See, 1 week I thought it was going to leave, so I said, okay, well, maybe I should go and see Blade Runner again. Mm-hmm. And then it miraculously stayed.
Okay, yeah.
Then I was like, this is a sign.
Yeah.
I have to see it again.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, just smart sci-fi. A sequel to one of the all-time great sci-fi movies that's been...
That doesn't pull it down.
Yeah.
It only makes it better.
Oh, yeah.
Which is so rare.
Mm-hmm.
It's the best shot film of the year.
Yeah.
It's one of the best acted films of the year. The best score of the year. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying anything about my top 10 list, but I really like Blade Runner 2049.
Nice. That's awesome. So it might make an appearance.
It might make an appearance on my list.
It's awesome, though.
Yeah.
What I really, and we'll probably get into more detail, more depth during our top 10 discussion. I just loved how Denis Villeneuve is kind of saying to us, we need to start thinking about these things as we advance as a civilization, as we don't advance or advance, and as we introduce artificial humans into this world, because it's already here. When you think about it, you think about Siri or what's Alexa?
Cortana.
Yeah. These artificial humans are already here, and we have to start thinking about these things. And that's just part of the conversation he starts in this movie. And I think it's beautiful. I love the discussion of what it means to be human, and do we have ownership over the things we create? It's just so much.
Like, yeah, there's so much going on in this film.
I love it.
And shame on everybody for not seeing it.
Yeah.
This should have been a $100 million opening weekend.
Yeah.
Why was it not?
Yeah.
And because of that, we might not get the sequel that I want.
Mm-hmm.
But they will. Watch.
Yeah.
It's going to make its money back.
Yeah.
It's still in the theaters.
Yeah, that's
people
right.
are still watching it. Mm-hmm. It's slowly getting towards $100 million. Mm-hmm. It's also made $250 million around the world.
Oh, cool.
It's making money.
Yeah.
And I'm going to buy it on Blu-ray. You're going to buy it on Blu-ray. Everybody's going to buy it on Blu-ray. Oh, yeah. It'll make money. We'll get our sequel.
Yeah.
I'm saying it right now.
Right on.
Yeah. One of the best films of the year.
Sign me up.
I'm not saying anything about my list.
Nice. All right. All right. Well, on that topic, I'll take it down several notches. I saw Jigsaw. It's so bad. It is so bad.
I did not see Jigsaw.
I was hoping that it would be kind of entertaining. I was like, hey, maybe we'll see some cool practical effects or like some cool death scenes. And I just need a release from life. And
Adrian texts me. He's just like, as your friend, I'm going to tell you right now to not see Jigsaw.
Yeah. I was like, you will definitely hate this movie, probably more than I did. Oh, it's bad.
Yeah. It's so bad. I don't like crappy horror films. Yeah. I just don't.
Yeah.
And yeah, I don't. Yeah. I'll never see that film.
Yeah. You're better off for not seeing it. But there is light at the end of the tunnel, because I watched Happy Death Day and I had quite a bit of fun watching this one.
I think it's actually one of the surprises of the year.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a great film.
Yeah.
But if you told me 2 weeks before that film opens that it's actually going to be good, yeah, I would have slapped you in the face.
Yeah.
And then slapped you again.
I was kind of not looking forward to it.
Yeah. I was like, the horror version of Groundhog Day. Cool.
Yeah.
But it is.
Yeah. And the girl who's the lead, and I should have written her name down, she's really good in that role.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a surprisingly good film.
Yeah. Super watchable.
Yeah. It goes places you don't expect. It adds, like I'm going to use a video game term, mechanics.
Yeah.
To the actual plot that make it actually work.
Yeah.
That kind of surprised me.
Yeah.
And I thought I'd seen it all, and I was actually surprised. So props for that.
Yeah.
It's a good film.
Yeah. Really fun.
And it made money, which is cool.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
If it's good, I'll say it's good.
Yeah. I got no problem with that.
I also watched Thor Ragnarok, which I quite enjoyed, but I can't tell you anything about it as we talk now.
Wow. Wow. Okay, I love
Thor Fights Hulk.
I love Thor Ragnarok.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best films of the year.
No way. Really?
I absolutely love Thor Ragnarok.
I really enjoyed it, though. Yeah. I don't want to take anything away.
They turned the worst character in the Marvel Universe into one of the best characters in 2 hours.
Nice. Yeah.
Taika Waititi has done something that I didn't think was possible. I wasn't a really big fan of Thor. Okay. Now I'm a huge fan of Thor.
Nice.
And let's just throw in the Hulk,
mm-hmm,
with this amazingly funny personality.
Yeah.
About how he likes to, he's fire. And Hulk is, yeah, yeah, all this awesome dialogue between Thor and Hulk.
That's true.
And there's a wickedly awesome female character.
Oh, yeah.
Who I never knew existed, but now must be in every Marvel film because she's that damn awesome.
She's great.
It looks amazing. It's bright. Everything I hate about Thor was this dark, mushy, lightning shit everywhere, and nothing looked bright. And this one is on acid.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
I think it's one of the best Marvel films ever.
Nice. Nice.
It's not Guardians 1 good, but it's really good.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Love it.
Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It's not as good as Justice League. Let's get into it then.
Justice League?
Justice League.
You want to do this?
Yeah. Let's on the topic. I threw its hat into the ring. I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
I gave it half a star because it ended.
Oh, whoa. What? Oh, you're terrible. Come on. Jason Momoa, dude. And The Flash. The Flash is so awesome in this movie.
Tell me one thing about Flash.
He's funny. He's weird.
No.
He runs
fast. About Flash.
He's
Cyborg. He's What's Cyborg's name?
He's there as an exposition device. A plot device.
They literally don't tell us a thing about those two characters.
Yeah.
They just exist.
Yeah.
There's nothing there.
Well,
Batman versus Superman is a null movie now. They proved without a single doubt that Batman, Aquaman, Flash, Wonder Woman, and Cyborg are nothing without Superman.
That's true.
They didn't need to make Batman versus Superman because, spoiler alert, it's in the fucking trailer, Superman wakes up.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he's better than all of them put together because he kicks the shit out of them and completely eliminates Batman versus Superman.
Well,
it's like, fuck you, Zack Snyder. That movie shouldn't exist.
Batman, he found a way to beat him, though. And he could have beat him.
What, with kryptonite stink bombs?
Yeah, man.
Guess what? He didn't die.
He was about to kill him, and then he found out.
Martha!
Him and his mom. His mom and Superman's mom, they're the same name, dude. That's awesome.
Oh. Not to mention, worst fucking superhero villain of all time.
Yeah, he's pretty bad.
I just want my little things. Can you guys, not get around me so I can get my stuff?
Yeah, I can't even.
What was his name? Steppenwolf?
Steppenwolf, that's right.
What? This is fucking movie. This fucking movie.
I don't know how pretty much all of these superhero movies get that wrong, like the villain stuff.
Except for Thor Ragnarok.
Thor Ragnarok? Yeah, I thought she was okay. She was as close to great as you can get, I think.
It's Cate Blanchett.
Yeah.
Versus yeah. some fucking CG piece of crap yeah. in Justice League.
That's true.
Like, legit, Justice League is nothing. They're yeah. like, the Guardians of the Galaxy could have beat them up without Superman.
Oh, man. No way, dude.
They suck. They killed Batman.
Yeah.
He is no longer the world's greatest detective.
Yeah.
He's just a dude
yeah.
who has a bromance with Arthur Curry.
But he's such a badass. He's a murdering Batman.
I think it's one of the worst films of the year.
Really?
I hated that film. I walked out of it, and I remember you texting me saying how much you loved it.
Yeah.
And I refused to text you after it. No, I was just like, way. I'm just going to fight with him. I don't want to do it. It's such a piece of shit. Oh, fuck that film.
Dude.
It's, yeah. It just, and not to mention, could you not tell there was two directors on that film?
I couldn't tell.
Oh my God.
I couldn't tell.
Did we watch the same fucking film?
Yeah, man. I watched the one where Jason Momoa drank whiskey and smashed the glass on the beach. And I was like, yeah, this is my Aquaman.
Oh my God.
And he's like having a freaking blast playing Aquaman. And I was just like, him and Daniel Craig, I think, had the most fun making a movie this year.
Jason Momoa always looks like he's high.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just smoked a lot of ganja.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't doubt that. But yeah, I had a blast watching it. I had fun watching Flash versus Superman. There's a bit where they have Flash versus Superman. I thought I had chills watching that scene. I was like, yes. Hell yeah. It's back on course, man.
It's really not.
It is. It is.
No, this is one of the worst films of the year.
It's really embarrassing when you get it so wrong. The stock takes such a big hit. No. Or is it the other way around?
No, I think I'm in the norm on this one. I think everybody kind of hated this one.
No, I even had haters tell me, wow, I was really surprised by how much I liked Justice League.
Wow.
And I'm not making that up. Like, I would never, like, people who hated Man of Steel and Batman v Superman.
That's just the thing. I love Man of Steel.
Yeah,
I really like the director's cut of Batman vs. Superman because it actually fucking makes sense.
Yeah,
they put like an extra 40 minutes into it. And it's like, wow, that was actually an essential plot.
Yeah, yeah.
I kind of want to see the Zack Snyder version of Justice League
yeah.
just so I can piss on it again, like the fucking Josh Whedon version, because it's he ruined some of that dialogue too.
Oh,
holy
yeah.
fuck.
Yeah, I guess you can kind of tell when it's Joss Whedon's dialogue coming into play.
It's like a Buffy the Vampire Slayer episode.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had fun. I know that much. That's enough for me.
That's cool.
Okay.
And when it's on your top 10 list, I'm going to laugh at you so hard.
Well, you know, 11, 12, I don't know. We'll see. And then
go on.
Let's change gears.
Go on.
Let's change gears. This is something I think we're both on the same page for this one. Three Billboards Outside Ebbing, Missouri. Love this film.
Love
dude.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolute. Just ass kicking performance from McDormand. And a lot of people had problems with Rockwell's character, but I think he fits for this movie and for this world we live in. He's a reflection of an ugly side of society that we live in. And I think people have problems with it because maybe he's just too real for them. He's a racist, homophobic piece of shit. And some people argue that he gets let off the hook a little bit. And I don't want to get too deep into spoilers or anything, but...
You're kind of wrong on that one. That he doesn't get let off.
Yeah.
It just gets more advanced.
I don't think anybody gets let off the hook in this one.
If anything, they become worse people.
Yeah. And I think there's something brutally honest about that, because take a look at yourself, man. Like, how often are we as people improving ourselves? You know, I'm me at the end of the day. I always will be me, and there's some things that I say and do that maybe aren't perfect, you know. I just have to own up to that and accept who I am and learn or not learn. But I think that this movie that this movie that McDonough crafts is just a brutal look at the world we live in. live in now. And he coats it with a little bit of dark humor. And I love that about this film.
This film was supposed to open Fantastic Fest.
Yeah.
And it got pulled because of all the controversy. So automatically it had a bit of a stink in my eyes. And for it to be this high on my personal list with that stigma attached to it says a lot about the film.
Oh, yeah.
Because I walked in with a chip on my shoulder.
Yeah, same here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was pissed. I really wanted to see that film.
Yeah.
And it got taken away for stupid things that had nothing to do with me or Adrian or any of our friends.
Yeah.
Or, yeah. So we didn't.
Just a few days before we went there.
Yeah. And Fantastic Fest, to be fair, still hasn't given us an explanation.
Yeah.
They actually haven't said a word about it.
No.
That kind of blows. But anyways, yeah, it's one of the best films of the year.
Absolutely.
It's really great. And hope everybody gets to see it. It's selling out here.
That's awesome.
Which is awesome.
I love that.
Yeah. That and Lady Bird.
Yeah.
Lots of sellout shows. It's really great.
I think it's great. Yeah. It's so funny. And like nobody is off limits in this movie. Like she has this bit where she confronts a priest. I was like, you know that animated GIF of The Rock standing up and clapping? Like, that was me. I was just like, yeah, preach, sister. Fuck those priests, yo. Fuck them all. Hope they all burn in hell. Yeah, I might have went Samuel L. Jackson too, a little bit. It's really damn good.
Yeah.
And it's way up there for me too. Go see it if you can. If it looks interesting to you, check it out. And if you don't like it,
you're wrong.
You're wrong. And do not at me on Twitter. And I also watched Coco, which I didn't really know much about it going in. It's a Pixar film about a little boy who loves music, loves to play music, but due to his family legacy, music's been outlawed by the matriarch of the family, who believes that music will curse the whole family. So they're just shoemakers, and he feels that's not in his destiny. And in his journey to become a renowned musician, he transitions to the afterlife, because this takes place during the Day of the Dead, right? And he goes into the afterlife and learns stuff about his family and learns stuff about legacy and music. And oh man, I swear this movie was like, you know, the opening sequence montage from Up. It was like that feeling for me, but through the whole freaking movie, man. Like, because it just brought back lots of memories of, you know, I come from large families, so death has been one of the many constants in my life that I can always count on losing a loved one. So this was right up my alley, and I thought it was a very beautiful look at life, love, and legacy. It was beautiful.
Yeah, it's one of the best films of the year.
Yeah.
By far. Mm-hmm. Maybe the best animated film of the year.
Yeah.
From, you know, a company that makes Toy Story. So when they make a movie called Coco, nobody knows what it is.
Yeah.
And then you go and watch it and just get absolutely destroyed by it.
Yeah.
And it's making money, which is really great.
Yeah.
But enough about Coco. What did you think of the really crappy, incredibly shitty Frozen short?
Oh, dude. It was 20 minutes?
23, I think.
Fuck.
It's the worst thing I've seen this year.
It was an assault. Like, what they did should have been illegal. It should be illegal.
This is what the short is. There's a song every 2 minutes so they can sell it on iTunes.
Yeah.
They just sing dialogue for no reason.
And sell merch.
And nice. Yeah, and Olaf is the main character. Mm-hmm. Really?
Yeah. I was hurting. Like, probably 10 or 15 minutes in, I turned to Sarah. I was like, how fucking long is this?
Best of Youth is shorter than this.
Oh my god. I would sooner watch that over that short. And Best of Youth is
six hours long. Yeah.
Yeah. Jeez, man.
It's the most painful thing I've seen this year.
Yeah.
It's a travesty. Yeah. They should be ashamed.
They really should.
They've ruined Frozen.
Yeah.
Except for the kids don't understand that. Oh, Elsa.
Oh, Olaf.
Yeah. Like, but everybody who actually knows what they're doing, who actually had to watch that,
mm-hmm.
I feel sorry for us.
Yeah.
Worst thing I've seen this year.
And they've pulled it since then.
Yeah, I got pulled.
Thankfully.
Yeah.
But yeah, the rest of us who had to endure that. I actually almost texted you and told you to wait half an hour. But I figured you'd probably have to find a decent seat.
Yeah.
I figured it'd be busy. But fuck that movie, man. Fuck that short, dude.
Yeah. So it's the worst short I've seen this year. Yeah. And I watched a couple hundred of them for a film festival.
That's right.
Yeah.
And many of those were pretty bad.
They were.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is terrible.
Yeah. But Coco, it's still in theaters. Please go see it.
And it's amazing.
I think there's something in there for all ages, too.
And it's not Book of Life, people.
No.
That movie's okay.
Yeah, it was good.
This one's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Yeah, one of the underrated Pixar films.
Mm-hmm.
I really like Brave, too. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't like that film, but I think that's also like an underrated Pixar film.
Yeah, I enjoy
Brave. This is up there with that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is like Toy Story 2 good, mm-hmm. as far as I'm concerned.
Oh, yeah.
It's not Toy Story 3 good,
yeah.
but it's Toy Story 2 good.
Yeah. Yeah, this one, dude. Yeah, because like I lost my grandfather and my great-grandmother, of course, another grandmother. I lost a lot of people when I was a kid. And it just to reflect on those feelings I had as a kid and the way I process them as a kid and as I do as an adult, it just made me think about all the loved ones I've lost in my life.
Yeah. And, I cried.
Yeah, same here.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. And for me to say that, mm-hmm. I usually don't cry a lot during
yeah.
movies.
Yeah.
But yeah, this one really got me good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
So please support Coco. It's a great film. I also saw The Disaster Artist. Went and saw this. I had business I had to tend to in Vancouver, in the mainland. And this was playing at the Rio Theater and caught up with some of our friends.
Yeah, during the Rio Grind Film Festival.
Yeah. Yeah. So I ran into Marina, Melissa, and Zach, and Volkmar.
Yeah.
And I think that was it. And it was really cool to see them. And then we got to watch the movie with them. It was really fun. I liked Disaster Artist quite a bit. For anybody who doesn't know about it, it's playing everywhere now. It's about James Franco playing Tommy Wiseau during the making of The Room, which is kind of known as one of the worst movies of all time. And as a result, it's created a huge fan base.
Yeah.
Of terrible people.
A movie that Tommy Wiseau made as a drama, but then came to realize to make money, it became a comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I like about the film is that it treats him with respect, even though he's kind of a weird dude.
Yeah.
And that's cool.
Yeah.
They could just have made a film where he was a completely wacky, off-the-wall guy, but they treat him with kid gloves in this film, and I think that's really great.
Yeah.
Franco is amazing.
I think so, too, yeah.
But I think it's Dave Franco who really holds the film together.
Yeah, absolutely.
Without him, this movie is nothing, because he's the one that he plays off of.
Yeah.
Yeah, James Franco all day, but as we've said before, Dave Franco is super underrated.
Yeah.
We talk about him a lot. This film doesn't work without him.
Yeah.
Tons of really fun cameos in the film, too.
Oh, like, yeah.
Everybody's in this film. Everybody loves The Room.
Oh, yeah.
I fucking hate The Room.
It's terrible.
It's one of the worst films of the all time, and it's for a reason.
Yeah.
But I guess if you're going to see it at the Rio. I saw The Room for the first time at the Rio with Tommy Wiseau.
Oh, no way.
In the theater doing cool. a Q&A.
Nice.
I hated that film so much.
Oh, damn.
I was with a friend who also hadn't seen it, and he wanted to walk out, but I wanted to watch the Q&A.
Yeah.
And he's just a weird dude.
Mm-hmm.
Still says he's from New Orleans.
Oh,
an all-American dude. Who I think is actually from Poland.
Yeah, I think it's Poland. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
He's just a weird guy. The movie's good. I also think it's great.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get going.
Yeah.
I could care less about the Tommy Wiseau story.
Yeah.
Because nothing's actually answered.
That's true.
You never actually find out where the money comes from. Yeah. You don't know why he's driving a Mercedes. You never know, you know, all this stuff.
Why he has a house in LA.
Yeah. Yeah. It's nothing's actually explained, but that's kind of his mystique.
Mm-hmm.
Once it gets going with the actual like making of The Room stuff, it's quite good.
Yeah.
And the ending is really poignant.
Yeah.
And stay through the credits.
Absolutely.
There's a scene right like after all the credits are done that's really quite good.
Oh, yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, and what was really cool about seeing it at the Rio is that's where Franco first saw The Room.
Yeah.
Was at the Rio. And it kind of sucks that he doesn't mention that in the press and such. And I've read interviews and articles and whatnot, and he hasn't mentioned...
He says a theater in Vancouver.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, him and Seth Rogen, he says... Me and Seth Rogen saw it at a movie theater in Vancouver. It's like, oh man, why don't you give the Rio a shout out? Like, they're one of the biggest champions of that movie in the world.
Totally.
And it's really fun though.
Yeah.
If you're remotely interested, you should check it out. And not to sound too controversial, but Franco's performance, I would put it in the same neighborhood as Jim Carrey in Man on the Moon, where it really felt like he transformed into that person. And there's room where he could have made fun of that, of Tommy Wiseau, but it feels earnest.
Yeah,
it feels genuine.
Speaking of that, did you watch the Jim Carrey Netflix doc,
Jim and Andy?
Yeah,
we should talk about that. Let's talk about that.
Have you watched it?
I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, so did I.
Yeah, man, I love that one.
Yeah, it's he went there.
Yeah,
went fully there.
Yeah, yeah. He said, what did he say in the opening? He went to the beach and Andy Kaufman took over.
Yeah,
and it was no longer Jim Carrey.
The really cool thing is the movie is Jim Carrey reflecting collecting on home video of somebody who shot during the production of Man on the Moon. Mm-hmm. And Jim Carrey seems like the most honest, down-to-earth guy in this interview. He's just like, I was going through a really bad time. Mm-hmm. Fame was really screwing me up.
Yeah.
And then I became a character for a year. And it didn't help me at all.
Yeah.
I became way worse because I forgot who Jim Carrey was.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, yeah.
He went full Andy Kaufman.
Oh, yeah.
He never turned it off.
Yeah.
And everybody hated him for it.
Yeah.
He had alter egos.
Yeah.
He pissed everybody off.
Went and fucked with people in their trailers and stuff.
Yeah.
And makeup. When they were doing their makeup,
he'd slap them. Jerry Lawler for no reason.
Yeah.
It was unreal.
Yeah. Like, it looked like Lawler legit wanted to beat him up.
He probably could have, too. Quite easily. But yeah, it's a really good doc. Yeah. It's on Netflix. So no excuse for that.
Yeah.
Sorry to jump in there, but I didn't know if you'd seen it or not.
Yeah. Jim and Andy, it's called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Highly recommend Jim and Andy. That's awesome. And that's all I have written down. I probably have some others.
I'm going to cover it all.
Yeah. So I'll hand the mic over
to Bill. My God. This is going to be really long. I apologize.
That's all good. I'll take a nap.
This show has already been really long. So let's just make it a little longer. The first film. So the last show we recorded, we talked about the last film we saw at Fantastic Fest, which was Downsizing.
Yeah.
So the first film I saw at VIFF, which it was started 24 hours later, which I saw 90 films at, was Breathe.
Okay.
The directorial debut of Andy Serkis, starring Andrew Garfield as a man who was bedridden with a machine that helped him breathe.
Oh, right.
And he did not accept that. He wanted to be mobile. So he invented a machine that made it so he could breathe in a wheelchair and go free and do whatever he wanted instead of being bedridden. It's a really average film.
Okay.
With a really great Andrew Garfield performance, because he's always great.
Yeah.
It's nothing special. It's already opened and passed and nobody knew about it.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
It opened here. Did you know about it?
I didn't know.
Exactly.
It's
a very average film. Nothing there except for the Garfield performance.
Yeah.
It's a Netflix film at best.
Okay. Yeah.
One of the best films of the year. I'll be talking about in a minute on my VIFF top 10. I'll spoil it. It was my favorite film of VIFF. BPM.
Nice.
Beats per minute.
Yeah.
French film about ACT UP, which was a French AIDS activist group who during the 90s tried to fight for AIDS rights for homosexuals. And it's 2 hours and 25 minutes. It feels like it's 15 minutes long.
Nice.
It's absolutely breathtaking.
Wicked.
It's the kind of cinema I go to film festivals to watch.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the best films of the year. It hasn't opened yet. I saw it at a film festival.
Mm-hmm.
Here is your early warning.
Yeah.
BPM.
Yeah.
It's one of the best films of the year. There you go.
Nice.
Start scribbling this stuff down. I got some notes for you.
Yeah, this is why I always get your notes for the show notes, so I can look back and go, I need to see this.
Speaking of great films, Faces Places.
Yeah.
JR and Agnes Varda. JR is like a 30-year-old man and Agnes Varda is an 80-year-old woman, and they decide to work on like an installation where they got a truck with a giant camera on the side.
Okay.
And they're going to take photos and make installations on like bridges of weird shit like people's hands. Sounds really boring.
Yeah.
Except for them, they're the most charismatic people in the world.
Wicked.
And this really odd relationship is so weirdly sincere and sweet. It's the most charming film of the year.
Wicked.
And I walked out of that theater with this amazingly giant smile on my face. I'm
right
just like,
on.
My God.
Right.
I absolutely loved that film.
Nice.
It's opening now.
Mm-hmm.
No excuse.
Yeah.
Faces Places.
Right on.
One of the best films of the year.
Cool.
Lucky, Harry Dean Stanton's last film.
Oh, man.
It's really good, too.
Yeah.
He's a curmudgeon asshole with a heart of gold
who mm-hmm.
always has a cigarette in his mouth. And he's just Harry Dean Stanton.
Nice.
And it's got a bunch of really great character actors, including David Lynch
actor. Oh, okay.
So good.
Right on.
It's also really good.
Nice.
It's opened and gone.
Okay. You'll
probably get it on Netflix now. I don't know.
iTunes, maybe.
Yeah, it's really good.
Cool.
Directed by John Carroll Lynch, who's an actor.
Mm-hmm.
You might know who he is.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Right on.
One of those underrated films of the year so far.
Right on.
I didn't see a lot of documentaries of VIFF.
Okay.
But the ones I saw were pretty good,
yeah.
including the really great AlphaGo.
Okay.
Google decided they were going to try to build an artificial intelligence machine that could beat the world master at Go. This really weird board game with like two colors of little circles that you try to get as much territory as possible. Google thought they could do this. They challenged the world number one at Go to see if their machine could do it. And it becomes the most thriller film of the year. Everything is like the most hardcore thrills and chills, and where you think it's going somewhere and it's, well, no, it's over here. It's just nothing you expect.
Nice.
And I loved every frame of this film. Yeah. Everybody at the film festival was talking about AlphaGo.
Nice.
It's cool. One of the best docs of the year. I have no idea when it's coming out, but seek it out. Mm-hmm. AlphaGo.
Nice.
Wonderful.
Cool.
Yeah. We talked about Blade Runner. It's really good. Brad Status, the new Mike White film.
Okay.
Starring Ben Stiller as a dad whose kid is going to college, and he has a bit of a breakdown. Mm-hmm. He's a bit of an asshole, which I think kind of ruins the film a little bit.
Okay.
I didn't really like the Brad character.
Okay, yeah.
It's an okay film. I expected more from Mike White. There it is. Yeah. The new Michael Haneke film, Happy End, which everybody hated except for me.
Except you.
I love Michael.
You're a weirdo.
I love Michael Haneke. And it's one of those Michael Haneke films where he's trying to fuck with you. So if you don't like the film, he succeeded as far as I'm concerned. It's typical Haneke. He's baiting you the whole entire film.
Nice.
It also has the greatest scene of the year, a karaoke scene where a guy sings Chandelier by Sia.
Okay.
It's the greatest scene of the year.
Wow.
I can't explain it.
Yeah, that's cool.
When you all see it, text me or Twitter me. Do all what you'll understand. It's the best scene of the year.
Nice. I think, didn't you and Marina talk about that?
Yeah. If you look really closely, there's a part of it in David Ehrlich's 25 Countdown.
Oh, really?
Where a guy is doing a cartwheel with a disco ball.
What the fuck? That's awesome.
I can't explain it. It's nice. So good.
Cool.
Yeah. Happy End. I love Michael Haneke. He's the greatest. Call Me By Your Name.
It's nice.
Which everybody is saying is one of the major Oscar films. Mm-hmm. I rated a 4.5 out of 5. And I still think something's missing. It's a film that's incredibly beautiful and really assured of itself, but I think it's missing a spark.
Okay.
Sort of like a film we just talked about.
Right.
But I just don't know what quite it is.
Yeah.
I just wish it tried something. It's really straightforward, but it's incredibly beautiful. I want to live in where they live. I want to experience what they experience. Mm-hmm. Timothy Chalamet and Armie Hammer are out of this world good.
Nice.
Michael Starlberg, out of this world good.
Nice.
It's a really great film. Mm-hmm. I just wish it had something else.
Yeah.
It's a little spark.
Okay.
But I loved it. I saw it twice, actually. Nice. Enough to see it twice.
Right on.
The Foreigner, Jackie Chan.
Oh, yeah. How is this?
It's kind of fun, actually. Jackie Chan's daughter gets killed in an explosion, and damn it, Jackie Chan wants answers.
Yeah.
And he just beats the shit out of a bunch of white guys.
Nice.
It's lovely.
I love that.
Yeah. And it's so stupid. Like, he's in the forest, and all of a sudden, Jackie Chan is, like, whittling wood and making spears. To kill people with.
Turn into Rambo?
It's so good. it's really terrible, but I don't think I was supposed to be laughing.
Okay.
But I laughed.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
So thumbs up for Jackie Chan, who's, I think, 60 and still kicking a lot of ass.
That's awesome.
It's not a very good movie, but it's unintentionally funny.
Right on.
Yeah, kind of decent.
Nice.
We talked about The Florida Project. Borg McEnroe.
Oh, yeah. How was
one of the really big surprises of VIF.
Yeah.
The film really works as a drama, and also has really good tennis scenes in it. If either of those didn't work, the movie doesn't work at all, but they both work really well.
Cool.
The guy playing Bjorn Borg is perfect. Looks just like him.
Wow.
And I don't know if you know who Bjorn Borg was, but he won 5 straight Wimbledons.
Yeah.
While having a nervous breakdown.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
To the point where he almost couldn't go on the court.
Jeez.
He was just such a perfectionist that nothing, he won 5 straight and it wasn't good enough. He was losing his mind.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the court, asshole John McEnroe, who did nothing but taunt him.
Yeah.
So good. Played by Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah.
In a career role.
Wicked.
He is so good.
Nice.
The movie is really fun.
Yeah.
The tennis works like crazy. It's great. Nice. And this is the whole idea of the rock star McEnroe versus the absolutely robotic having a breakdown Bjorn Borg works so well.
Cool.
It's a super good film.
Nice.
I was shocked by how much I liked it.
Wow, that's awesome.
I know people saw it a couple times at VIFF. They liked it so much.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool.
I don't know when it's opening, but it's a Neon film.
Okay.
So probably next year sometime.
Yeah.
So look out for that.
Okay.
Columbus, one of my big surprises of the year. One of my favorite films of the year.
Cool.
John Cho and Haley Lou Richardson.
Yeah.
Haley Lou Richardson should win every actress award this year.
Really?
It's not even a contest.
Wow, that's awesome.
She was in Edge of 17 as Haley Steinfeld's best friend.
Yeah.
She did nothing in that film.
Mm-hmm.
She is everything in this film.
Nice.
About two people having a really bad time in life who get together to talk about their life and weirdly architecture.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like the Before movies, but there's nothing sexual.
Yeah.
They're just trying to help each other.
Cool.
And it's so poignant and great. And by the end of the film, I was having a nervous breakdown. I was crying so much.
Wow.
That I by the end of the film, I was having a problem getting up. I was crying so much. Geez. It was so good.
That's awesome.
Yeah. I can't explain how much that film meant to me at VIFF. Yeah. It's lovely.
Wicked.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah. It's one of the best films of the year.
Mm-hmm.
You'll see on my VIFF list where I ranked it.
Cool.
The Work, another documentary about prison inmates who try to work out their problems through talking to each other so hard that they break down.
Okay.
And have like a physical outpouring of their like problems. It sounds really weird, but these men get to a point where they're like screaming in pain because they're all their emotion is coming out through like this weird therapy.
Ah.
It's really strange, but it feels like we shouldn't be there. It's so intimate.
Oh wow.
These men are having like emotional breakdowns and it's being filmed. And I feel it felt gross, but at the same time kind of essential.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen anything like it.
Wow.
And if you get a chance to see it, it's really brutal.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's kind of an essential film.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's called The Work.
Yeah.
Documentary.
Okay.
Won South by Southwest Awards.
Cool. I think that's a big part of cinema, right? Is taking us to places we're not familiar with.
Yeah.
So I think I get what you mean by
it's
tough, but you need to go there sometimes.
Yeah, it's really interesting, but brutal.
Yeah.
That's a warning. The Mountain Between Us, Idris Elba and Kate Winslet. I was really bored of VIFF, so I went and saw a regular movie, and I saw The Mountain Between Us. They're in an airplane, it crashes, and then it becomes the struggle for them to get down the mountain.
Yeah.
A bunch of shit happens. It's terrible.
Okay.
And they're really good actors, and I'm like, man, how many zeros were on those checks?
Oh.
Such a shit film.
I have to say something. Do you, I don't know if you follow John Golson on Twitter.
I do.
I think it was him who posted this funny joke where I think he said something like, hey, Idris, will there be any mountain between us? I could not stop laughing for like a week.
So terrible. Yeah, never watch that film.
Okay.
Yeah, it's
glad I skipped it.
Yeah, it's so terrible.
Yeah.
Battle of the Sexes.
How is this?
It's good, but not great.
Okay.
I like the message. Still think it's fully executed.
Mm-hmm.
But I really like Steve Carell.
Cool.
He's just going for it.
Nice.
This out of control asshole.
Yeah.
And, you know, Emma Stone as Billie Jean King just being the person who has to take it all.
Yeah.
And I love Carell in it. He's so watchable. Just such an asshole that, you know, it's all a complete, like, act to make money.
Mm-hmm.
He's not like that. He just wants to make money.
Oh, yeah.
And, it's brutal. Some of the stuff he says is absolutely brutal.
Yeah.
But it's good.
Cool.
It's not a bad film, but Netflix.
Yeah.
The Ninjago movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
It's an animated film.
Yeah.
It's really terrible.
Lego, right?
Yeah, Lego. It's really bad.
Oh, that sucks.
That's all I'm going to say. Never watch that film.
Yeah.
Unless you have kids.
Never will.
And then never watch it with your kids. Wonderstruck, which was the closing gala of VIFF. A kind of misunderstood film from Todd Haynes.
Yeah.
It's more or less a silent film.
Okay.
There's two different stories going on. One in color, one in black and white, about two storylines that are gonna, you know, eventually they're gonna come together.
Okay.
A lot of people thought it was really over sentimental
mm-hmm.
and mushy and gross, and I thought it was really poignant and I cried.
Wow.
So
that's cool.
That film's already opened and gone.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's crazy.
It never actually opened here.
Jeez.
That's how much they buried it. It's like they had somebody like washed it and said, no, we're not showing that. So they're like downsizing.
That's brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really wanted to see that too. I saw the trailer. I was like, oh, I need need to see that.
Yeah, don't worry. I'll hook you up.
Nice.
We talked about American Made. Talked about Happy Death Day. Long Time Running documentary on a Tragically Hip.
Oh, right.
On their final concert tour. It was on CTV.
Yeah.
I watched it on there.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah.
I miss Gord Downie. Mm-hmm. And they were a really good live band.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, it was super sad and I cried a lot.
Yeah.
So yeah, if you want to lose 10 pounds of water, watch Long Time Running.
Man.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Rest in peace, Gord Downie.
I'm kind of scared to watch it, I think.
Yeah.
Such a, he's the Canadian flag, essentially.
Pretty much.
And man, it's still, that wound's still fresh.
I saw about 25 minutes of Geostorm and then I walked out. That's enough.
Okay. Yeah.
I was stupid. I admit I was weak. I apologize. Yeah. I saw like 25 minutes of it and that was more than enough.
Okay.
The more than an hour of The Snowman that I saw was really terrible. So I walked out of that one too. That film is not complete.
Yeah.
They legit didn't shoot half of it.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that it's like really poorly put together.
Yeah. It's doesn't make sense at all.
Let's do that.
I know you watched this one, so we'll join together on this one. The Meyerowitz Stories.
That's right. I forgot to mention that.
Yeah. Lesser Baumbach, but good Baumbach.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Held together by some really good performances, except for when Sandler's doing Sandlerisms that kind of drove me nuts.
He does interject that a bit.
Yeah. But yeah, Ben Stiller's really good. Dustin Hoffman's really good. Everybody's really good.
Oh, yeah.
It's just a bunch of neurotic people who had family problems who don't really have answers to anything.
That's true.
And it's a Noah Baumbach film. Yeah. You kind of know what you're getting.
Oh, yeah.
And I love Noah Baumbach films.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and it's on Netflix.
What's crazy is it shouldn't work for me. Like, those kinds of people, I despise. But he makes them so watchable and so lovable. So, well, I don't know about lovable, but watchable for sure.
Yeah, great dialogue.
Yeah.
Everybody's an asshole.
Yeah.
They're not really redeeming people.
Yeah.
And they're all really flawed.
Oh, yeah.
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 But yeah, it's good. It's not great.
Cool.
Hagazusa.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that Fantastic Fest?
No, I missed it.
That's a super dark, bleak film.
Okay.
About a woman witch, and she lives in the forest, and a bunch of really dark stuff happens. I really can't tell you what it is, though, because it's super spoilerish.
Okay.
It's super dark, and holy crap, is it like Death Metal the movie? Like,
no
it's
way.
Super dark.
Nice.
But I kind of enjoyed it.
Nice.
It's not great or anything, but it's another student film.
Yeah, that's right.
That's Fantastic cool. Fest had the two great student films of the year.
Man.
Blew My Mind and Hagazusa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, watch Hagazusa with a little bit of distance. It's really harsh.
Mm-hmm.
But I dug it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
Maybe I'm just pretty metal.
Yeah.
Junkhead?
Yes.
Junkhead's awesome.
Hell yeah, Junkhead.
This animated film that took this crazy Japanese dude 7 years to make by himself.
That's right.
And it looks better than most stop-motion animation films from companies like Leica.
Mm-hmm.
It's so well done.
Yeah.
I don't know how he did it.
Yeah.
And it's like a fucking Terrence Malick film.
It's really
like
is.
Amazing shots. Yeah. Like with distance and all this.
Meditative.
Like what the hell?
Yeah. There's a lot of depth and it's awesome.
The story's fun and has like one of the great scores of the year.
Oh yeah.
Holy crap.
The score is outstanding.
It's played a couple major festivals now, so people might get a chance to see it.
Mm-hmm.
Junkhead.
Yeah.
It's one of the great animated films of the year.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Yeah.
What else do we got here? My list is legit. Like, I'm like half done.
No, Jesus.
I apologize.
Yeah.
Thank you for your service. Miles Teller is an army vet who comes back with his friends and they have a bunch of PTSD problems.
Mm-hmm.
It's not very good.
Okay.
I wish I could say it is because I quite like Miles Teller.
Yeah.
It's just a pretty poor movie.
I skipped that one. Yeah, I had a feeling about it.
You've seen better ones. Watch those again.
Yeah.
Suburbicon. Another terrible film that I'll never see. Anybody should never see.
Yeah.
Pretty sure I told you not to watch it.
You told me not to see it.
Yeah. It's one of the worst films of the year.
That
it has
sucks.
Absolutely no idea what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And shame on George Clooney because you made that one,
that's
sir.
That's too bad.
Yeah. Not even the great Matt Damon could save this one.
Wow.
That's two movies Matt Damon,
couldn't save
this year. We talked about Thor Ragnarok. It's one of the best films of the year.
Nice.
A Bad Mom's Christmas. One of the worst films of the year.
Oh, no.
The first one's okay. I quite like the first one. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
It had a fun little premise that they do nothing to advance this time. We added their mothers. We added their mothers who were fucking annoying. And it became less funny.
That's too bad.
Negative one stars.
Oh, brutal.
Murder on the Orient Express. This one sucked too.
That's too bad.
Yeah, a bunch of white people on a train with Kenneth Branagh with a bad mustache for 2 hours.
Nice.
It's so terrible. I don't know why was this even made?
Mm-hmm.
Other than it was a passion project for him.
I see.
Oh wait, it made $100 million because every white old person in Victoria went and watched it.
It's true. Very true.
I hated that film. Yeah. It meant no purpose.
Yeah.
Justice League. It really fucking sucks.
That's just like your opinion, man.
I gotta move on.
Bill is so shook up. He needs to take a minute. The truth will set you free, Bill. Just give in to Justice League.
I will not. I'm just going to choke. Yeah. Fuck. Mudbound.
Oh, shoot. I haven't seen this
yet. You haven't seen this on Netflix?
Yeah.
It's a really good film.
Nice.
Dee Reese, up-and-coming female director, and a story about two families, one white, one black, both living on the same plantation in like the bad days where racism is just brutal.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about this film is pretty hardcore, including Jonathan Banks, who played Mike Ehrentraut on Breaking Bad.
Okay.
Just being the most racist cracker in the world.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty brutal. It's a really brutal film, but I think it's really worthwhile.
Mm-hmm.
I really liked it. Check it out if you can. Another Netflix, First They Killed My Father, Angelina Jolie directed.
Okay.
It's sort of like Beasts of No Nation, but not as good.
Okay.
Still good, though.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an okay film. Jolie is a good director. She's getting a lot better, which is nice. She's making some pretty good films. It's got a good message. I just didn't think it was quite as good as Beast of No Nation.
Right.
Beyond Skyline.
Yeah.
Adrian saw this one. It's really terrible. I didn't like the first one at all. And this one is kind of a continuation of it. They kind of go inside the ship and lots of really stupid stuff happens. And then it's like in Malaysia and everybody from the raid shows up. And,
yeah.
But you know what? I love Frank Grillo.
Yeah.
Adrian loves Frank Grillo.
Oh, yeah.
He's not bad. It's just for what it is, it's not a bad film. It costs nothing. It looks pretty good for what it is.
Oh, yeah.
I couldn't get behind the plot. It's messy.
It is.
Yeah. Not a bad film, but not a great film either. Mm-hmm. Talked about Three Billboards. Talked about Coco. Talked about the really shitty Frozen short. Roman J. Israel Esquire and a really rare bad Denzel Washington film.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's really preachy.
I didn't see it.
Denzel's pretty good in it, but I didn't like it. It's just not really watchable at all. Skip that one. I'm trying to fly through these now.
Yeah.
Last Flag Flying, which legitimately you wouldn't know was a Richard Linklater film until you saw the credits.
Wow.
It's just a really plainly shot film with a bunch of dudes talking, and then it says directed by Richard Linklater. You're like, what the fuck?
Really? Wow.
It's kind of an average film that I really thought would be better because it's Richard Linklater.
Yeah.
It's one of his worst films, actually. And it's not a bad film, but this is the guy who made Dazed and Confused.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Big drop. The Breadwinner, an animated film about women's rights and how in this city, men can only buy stuff in the city square, like food-wise and supply-wise. And this family, the father dies, so it's just a bunch of women left. So the youngest girl cuts all of her hair off and acts like a young man.
Oh, wow.
To still be able to buy stuff for her family.
Yeah.
It's really good. It's touching. It's not a great film, but I thought it was really well made.
Yeah.
It's good.
It's making its rounds, right? Like, isn't it kind of crushing, like, the film festival industry or circles?
Yeah. It's doing pretty good.
Yeah.
It's won some awards.
That's cool.
I can't really talk about Phantom Thread, but I've seen it and you haven't. Yeah, Bill!
Hey, all right.
I can make my top 10 list.
There you go.
It's really fucking good.
Nice.
It's a 5 out of 5.
Nice.
That's about all I can say.
Yeah.
Disaster Artist we talked about. Mm-hmm. Molly's Game.
Okay.
Written and directed by Aaron Sorkin.
That's right.
Who I bow down to. I think he's one of the great talents of our generation, writing-wise. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure he should have become a director.
Okay.
The film is 2 hours and 30 minutes long.
Okay.
And it should have been about 2 hours long. It falls apart at the end.
Yeah.
But I had fun getting there. Jessica Chastain is killing it as Molly Bloom, a woman who ran a legal poker game that was technically legal until some bad stuff happened out of her control.
Mm-hmm.
Chastain's awesome.
Cool.
So good. Idris Elba is really good.
Cool.
It's just, runs out of steam at the end. Yeah. It's a good movie. It's not a great movie. They have big Oscar plans for it. It ain't getting there.
Oh, I see.
And guess what, folks? That's it.
Wow.
Sorry.
That's all good, man. That was a lot of time.
The show's long. I apologize.
It's all good. We're recording kind of late. We kind of took our time getting here, and that's all good.
The catch-up episode.
It is. Yeah, thanks if you've stuck with us. Thanks very much. We always kind of like to try to keep it in the 60 to 75 minute range. But
this is going to be 17 hours. I apologize.
But we're jam-packing 3 months of podcasts into one.
And just for shits and giggles, my fifth top 10.
Oh, yeah.
Number 10, the Haneke film Happy End. Number 9, Scary Mother. This really wacky flick about this woman who writes a book about her family where she like kills them and rapes them and does all this bad stuff.
Wow.
And the family reads it and they freak right out. So she just leaves.
Wow.
But still kind of starts stalking them.
Wow.
It's really twisted.
Which country is this?
Georgia.
From? Okay.
It's okay. Really fucked.
I was going to say.
And everybody hated it except for me.
I was going to say, this does not sound like an American indie.
No, it's really fucked.
Cool.
I loved it. Scary Mother. Number 8, Borg McEnroe. It's a really great film. We talked about it. Number 7, Wonderstruck. We talked about it. Number 6, AlphaGo. We talked about it. Number 5, Lady Bird. We talked about it. Number 4, Columbus. We talked about it. Number 3, Faces Places. Number 2, The Florida Project. And number 1, BPM.
Nice.
Beats per minute.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, that's my fifth top 10. We're kind of almost caught up here. A few more things. Upcoming movies.
Yeah.
Because I guess we're back to a regular schedule.
Yeah, that's right.
So, December 15th, some Jedi movie.
Indie movie. Sci-fi movie.
So, Ferdinand.
Yeah.
John Cena as a bull.
Yes.
Yeah. I think it looks kind of cute.
Okay,
I'll see it. Yeah, and Last Jedi opened.
That's right.
And Beyond Skyline, that piece of shit, goes theatrically in VOD.
Okay, yeah.
And then it all breaks open on the 22nd.
Yeah.
But none of these are opening here.
The Oscar push.
They're all limited. Downsizing. Terrible. It fucking sucks.
Terrible, terrible.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Sucks.
Yeah.
Pitch Perfect 3.
Yes.
I hated the second one.
Okay, yeah, I remember that.
It was the first film they shot the entire film again.
Yeah.
It was terrible. I'll probably see it. I'm not even gonna lie. Happy End opens, the Haneke film. It will never open here. Hostiles. You know that one? It's Christian Bale.
Okay.
Big Oscar film.
Okay. Yeah. No, I don't know this one.
Yeah, it's Scott Cooper.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Right on.
It's gonna be a big Oscar movie, I think.
Cool.
The Post. We reviewed it.
Yeah.
It's really good.
Go support it.
The Greatest Showman, which screened in Vancouver a couple days ago.
Okay.
And I heard it's fucking terrible.
Really?
That's a quote.
Is it on the poster yet?
No.
They're saving that for the Red Band trailer?
No. A friend of mine did the screening, and all the people who wrote down their comments afterwards, it was like, that film is awful. That is really bad. Fucking terrible.
No way.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, I don't know if I'm going to be seeing that one. Jumanji, Welcome to the Jungle. Mm. The Rock, Kevin Hart.
Yeah.
Jack Black.
Yeah.
Wow. Kevin Hart is a
He's a red flag for me.
It's a giant strike for me.
Yeah.
He's just going to yell a lot.
Yeah.
It's going to be annoying.
Yeah.
Jack Black, the same thing.
Yeah, but he plays a female character, right? Playing him.
I don't know. Yeah. I like Karen Gillan. She's my favorite Doctor Who companion.
Okay.
I love me some Doctor Who. All the Money in the World, which I think finished shooting about 3 days ago.
Yeah.
They replaced Kevin Spacey with Christopher Plummer and shot his scenes in 7 days.
Wow.
And digitally put him into the film, supposedly.
That's crazy.
Ridley Scott's a madman.
Yeah.
We'll see if that actually opens. But supposedly it's already screened because Christopher Plummer got nominated for a Golden Globe.
Yeah. You go, Christopher Plummer. He's going places.
Yeah, Molly's Game opens. It's good, but not great. And Phantom Thread opens.
Nice.
Not here, though.
In New York and LA.
Yeah, it opens in mid-January here. Yeah. And it's really good.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's it.
Cool.
That's the show.
Nice.
Longest show ever.
It is. It is. That was a marathon. I'm exhausted.
But we're caught up.
Yeah, we're caught up.
Damn it.
We're back. We're back. You guys are stuck with us. We're sorry. We're not sorry. Fuck you. There's been a bit of salt developed.
Love it. Yeah. Nobody listens anyway, so it's fine.
All good. Sign up for our Patreon. We don't have one. We'll never have one.
People who have Patreon to get new equipment can fuck off.
Yes.
Our soundboard we got on Used Victoria. We went to some dude's house and he was like a DJ. Cost us like $40.
He was like moving out that day.
And I think he was about to give it to us because he couldn't find the power cord. Then he found the power cord and made us pay.
That's right. He was on the verge of being like, oh, you guys can just, oh, here it is. I found it.
Yeah. Our equipment isn't good, but it works.
Yeah, it works, man.
Fuck your Patreon.
Fuck your couch. So.
Anyways, let's wrap this shit.
That's it. Let's get out of here. If you stuck with us, thanks very much for sticking with us. And thanks for all the love for the people who express concern. You know, it means a lot to both of us. And it was really cool to hear people be like, oh, are you guys okay? And we're fine. We just took some time off. Life happens.
The next show will be normal.
That's right. Won't be a marathon session. It'll be back to the, 60 to 75 minute episode kind of thing. So,
yeah. Where can they find us?
Oh, yeah. So rusty.
I'm at SoundJam69 on Twitter. Say hi.
That's right. I'm at Adrian_Charlie. This show has a Twitter account. It's at @TheGreen_Screen. We're also on Facebook. Run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit like, and you can be lucky number 34 to like us on Facebook. We're also on iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio. Anywhere you can find a podcast, run a search for The Green Screen of Death. Hit subscribe and leave us a like and some feedback. We appreciate that. That'll help us find a wider audience. So again, thanks very much for checking us out. We'll talk with you next time.
Peace.